I'm Jackie from Cape Town in South Africa.
Andre from Brisbane.
I'm Ben Wade from Botswana.
Jim Panton from Edinburgh in Scotland.
I'm Lisa Bracknell from Christchurch, New Zealand.
Nick Kidinji from Nairobi, Kenya.
I'm Viggy from Tel Aviv in Israel.
I'm Andy from Vancouver, Canada.
This is Harish from Bangalore in India.
I'm Brigitte Seipestein from Vrucht, the Netherlands.
I'm Dougie Nisbet from Durham in the UK. And you're listening to Run with Coach Parry.
Welcome back on to yet another edition of Run with Coach Parry. My name is Brad Brown. It's great to have you with us, and thank you for joining us and downloading this podcast. We really do appreciate you. Another one of our fly on the wall coaching calls today, and we are joined by someone who's been around what we do here at Coach Parry for a long, long time, Brendan Dunn. From as long as I can remember, back on the Comrades webinars that we've been doing, and we've been doing them for a number of years. I went back and looked, and I think the first one that we did was in 2012 or 2013. So we've been doing that for a long, long time, and I think Brendan's been around pretty much from the start. So great to have him on the call. He's a flipping good runner. I nearly said something else, but he's a great runner. You're going to hear some of his times today. It's mind-boggling, and he's got heaps and heaps of potential, and we're going to see if we can let him get even faster. So I think you're going to really enjoy today's call as well. Lindsay's joining us for that one. And we've got another one of our winners in the Biogen Journey competition. All you need to do to stand a chance to win a Biogen hamper, as well as 3 months access to the Coach Parry Online Training Club, is use the hashtag Biogen Journey on social media, and we could be making you a winner. We'll announce today's winner at the back end of the show. And we look forward to catching up. Don't forget as well, if you are going down to Comrades this year, our team, Coach Parry, is going to be at the expo. Just look for the Comrades Coach stand. That's where you're going to get your pacing charts as well. They sell them for charity, Lindsay's pacing charts. So come by, pick up a pacing chart, get some final words of encouragement from Lindsay and the rest of the team. I'm going to be there. So will Lindsay, as well as Shona and Marcus as well. So the entire team, or I say the entire team, a lot of the team at Coach Parry are going to be down at the expo, and we look forward to meeting you. Please come by. We'd love to have a photo with you. We love chatting to you, finding out sort of what you're expecting on Comrades Race Day. So we look forward to meeting you at that expo. Enough of me yakking. No, let's catch up with Brendan. Brendan, welcome onto the podcast. Great to have you on.
Brad, it's a pleasure to be here.
Brendan, you've been around what we do here at Coach Parry for a long, long time, almost from the beginning, I think. I mean, I remember our first sort of Comrades webinars, your names always used to pop up. But how long have you been running? I mean, I don't think I've ever asked you that. How did you get into the sport?
So I actually, it's a funny story. So my dad was always a runner, and he sort of, at the point when he stopped running Comrades in about 2005. I went to university in 2007. I drank too much, I ate too much, and I put on a lot of weight. Stopped playing sport, put on a lot of weight. And then one day I put my shoes on, ran 2Ks, and nearly passed out. And thankfully the next day I went back and I did it again. And since about 2008, but for a club from about 2011. I've been privileged to run for a few clubs. Tuckies, Fabian's, Carbineers Athletics, Carbineers Athletics Club in Western Province, and Durbanville most recently. I've been around a while there, bro.
Brendan, you've got some ability. Lindsay was and I were just chatting about your sort of questionnaire before we got started on the call. You're a blooming good runner.
A shot, man. Thank you. I've still got the shorter stuff I'm a lot more comfortable. I've still got to pull it together on the longer stuff. Marathons and ultras have been, I think it's because it's so long and it's mentally difficult, you know. I think wrapping my head around, you know, I always try to approach things from a point of humility. And you know, I had a bad experience on last year's Comrades. I'm sure we'll talk about that, but I had a bad experience on last year's Comrades, so it's maybe even more humble than I have been. So one of the reasons I wanted to chat to you guys was sort of how to get past that, how to, you know, set good goals and you know, train appropriately for them.
I'm going to bring Lindsay in here too as well, because I think this is also one of the downsides of being a runner in South Africa. And Brendan, I say you're a very good runner. You've got tons of potential. Lindsay will talk about some of your times and sort of the ability that's there. But we always joke about this, that, and I use air quotes, you're not a real runner in South Africa unless you run Comrades. And for someone like you, I'm not saying Comrades shouldn't be the goal, But maybe comrades isn't your thing. Maybe it is smashing 10Ks and smashing 15Ks and half marathons. Maybe that should be your thing and not comrades. I'm not saying that should be the case, but just because someone doesn't run comrades doesn't make them not a good runner. And I think maybe the ultra endurance stuff's not for you. Or who knows? But Lindsay, your thoughts on just Brennan's numbers and I mean, you were saying he's got some real speed here.
Yeah, so I mean, I think for the average listener out there, they'll be very jealous to hear that he's run a sub 18 5 kilometer and a sub 38k, a comfortable sub. Well, let me not say a comfortable because the run itself probably wasn't comfortable, but comfortably
there was 40 minutes.
comfortably under 40 minutes for 10k's. A sub 59, 15K, which is, I mean, that's really, I almost think that's the best run in your, the toss up between that and your 5K, which is the best run there. And then 1:27 on a half marathon and, 3:27 on marathon. So look, everything points to the ability to run under 3 hours for a marathon, and as you said, the longer distances have provided you a bit of angst. So there could be some pacing issues in there, or arriving on race day a little bit tired, or energy on race day, race plan. Now, there's a couple of reasons why it could be going wrong. You've got 6 days a week to train. Not lots of time in the middle of the week, but that's in itself isn't a major issue. I mean, you've got enough time there to be running at least 48Ks, Monday to Thursday. And then, you know, you've got time on the weekends, which we don't always have to eat up the entire weekend. But I think in short, there's a good launching pad here. You've got really great basic speed. You know, we could try and get you a little quicker on the shorter distances too, which will help on the long distances. And then, you know, perhaps just, there might be one or two structural issues, but probably more likely to be race day issues themselves that, just tripping you up on the longer stuff. But yeah, you've got a couple of questions in mind, I'm sure, to ask. So that's what really the call is supposed to be about. So let's move on to that. And you, it's over to you and pick my brain.
Just to say about the longer stuff, guys. I think the biggest issue was poor race plan. I think with the marathon, it was, so I was going out there to look, Winans is a reasonably tough course. And I was going out there hoping for it was sort of my first go at any sort of fast marathon, and I was thinking for like a sub 3:20, like a reasonably comfortable sub 3:20. But I didn't take ownership of it. And I actually entrusted my pacing to others, and we got to a point where we were actually struggling for time, and I had to chase it. And I got on pace, and then I got to 35Ks, and you know, the story, whack, there was the wall. And also my fueling, so fueling has also been a big problem, on comrades and on marathons as well. I had a really good Two Oceans last year and the fueling strategy was very simple. I literally just drank Powerade throughout, and I just had, I ate whatever I could. So I had a couple of energy bars with me. I ate that and that was fine. I had a great run. And then for comrades, I don't know. I kind of forgot all the lessons I'd learned at Two Oceans, and I tried to do something different. And also pacing issue. I went up there too fast. I went through, so to give you an idea, my last comrades. So I did 2,200 Ks January to, comrades, average of about 100 a week. Was feeling fine, wasn't sick, wasn't injured, had a great Two Oceans, had been taking a conservative all along stuff. On the day, didn't feel up properly. I think went up too fast. I was overly ambitious. Went through halfway 3:45. And is that what, six hours and 20 minutes later, I arrived in Durban. Yeah. So by the time I got to Nchango on the down, I mean, about 40 Ks in, I was already starting to hurt. I was already feeling sore and I knew I was in trouble big time. Okay. And, you know, I rate that section after halfway is the hardest part of the Comrades route to both as well.
Yeah.
So that was my issue, is that I haven't given myself a chance of running a good race at those distances yet.
Yeah. You know? Look, looking at your training and your history, as I said, the speed is there the basic speed is there for a silver, but the reality is that a silver, it takes like a full commitment.
For sure. It's basically
a 3 to 4 month fairly selfish commitment, to be honest, because you've got to merge the ability to run pretty fast for a long period of time. And so based on all the metrics, the amount of training you've done, your basic speed, I think between 8 and 8:20 is a very reasonable target for you. But that would require between 4:05 to 4:15, even 4:20 through halfway. Then you give yourself a chance in the second half of having a really, really good run. You went on silver pace and, obviously you've got the speed for it, but you just don't have the kilometers for silver.
No, I don't have anywhere close to the mileage, certainly not this year. And you know, the thing is, I appreciate the amount of running those guys do, you know, the guys who are running silver on Two Oceans and Comrades, it's unbelievable. And their tolerance for, it's, you know, 10 hours, 10 plus hours of running a week. I mean, that's a lot of time. You're getting up to what guys are training, for Ironman, you know, like 10, 12, 15 hours a week. So that's serious.
Agreed. And the good news is that with the speed that you've got, is that it's probably not necessary to train that hard to get you sub 3 or at least very close to sub 3. On the shorter stuff, you don't need quite the same commitment as you do. And you know, in 3 or 4 years time, you might be like, okay, I want to get this silver. And then you would put aside 6 months of selfishness and go for it. Until then, some really solid bull runs and some really nice fast 10s, 21s, and marathons are definitely on the cards.
I reckon the thing about Comrades, I think, is its experience. You know, I was running along with a group of last year's disaster. I'm running along feeling quite good up to about 30 Ks, and I'm running with a group of very experienced runners, you know, A seed, B seeds. And I mean, they knew their story. They knew exactly where they were, what they were doing, what they were eating, what they were drinking, how they were pacing themselves. I mean, there was a lady who literally paced herself. She and her partner, they were running along. She was running for, I think, Plett. And, she literally ran herself. She did a 7:29:58.
Awesome.
And if you look at her splits, she was precise, like absolutely precise through every section. She knew her story. And I think it was like her 7th or 8th Comrades.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to.
If you go through the list, people typically take between 4 and 8 Comrades to run their best Comrades. And if you look at the list of winners, there are some winners. Ford Mashiwe comes to mind. Git Gael is another one. Sean Mickeljohn's another one. They were only winning on the 11th, 12th, 13th Comrades that they actually won. Absolutely. It's a race that really heavily rewards experience. But part of that is also, and you allude to that in the email that you sent us, part of that is also just the consistency over the years. So obviously they have race experience, but also having trained for Comrades 6, 7, 8, 9 times. I mean, that's 9 years of very consistent application and training, which is that next layer of, you know, I always tell people that your biggest improvement normally comes structuring your program And then your next biggest improvement comes from just layering on year after year after year.
I mean, I tell you something. So all those best times were, so the times, 8 through 21 all run in 2017. And that just came from a year of just, so I moved, so for some background, I moved to Cape Town from Pretoria. I got injured almost immediately after arriving in Cape Town. So I couldn't run for a few months, but then once I started up again, I said, okay, well, let's actually, you know, you'd said to me some years before, well, you need to be, you know, try get your mileage up a bit higher and see what's possible. So I said, okay, right. Let's do that. Let's run six, you know, even 7 days a week. Let's give it a try and just be consistent. And, for about almost a year, I just built up mileage, and then all of those times came, you know, just from easy running and maybe some strides. And just consistency week after week, day after day, week after week, month after month. Easy. I mean, honestly, not pushing, no workouts, not pushing anything. Just stringing training together. So is there anything I could say to someone who's starting out as a runner would be like, the best thing you can do is to make sure that you don't get hurt and you just keep doing everything, you know, keep the same schedule week to week, month to month. And, you know, I mean, with Sean, when you said to Sean and Claude, I mean, those guys would have done, by the time they won gold, they would have done, you know, tens of thousands of kilometers.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, Lindsay, let's jump. I mean, Brendan sent through some questions, and the one question I think ties in quite nicely is, and we can talk post Comrades, even though we're recording this before Comrades. Let's talk about how you structure. That's what you asked him, man. Is how do you structure your year? 12 months, although Comrades is a long way away, and that's not going to be the main focus all the time. But Lindsay, how do you structure it with the shorter races to get faster in the build up to a race like Comrades over 12 months?
So with Comrades now being a little bit later in June, there's a little bit of flexibility. So I've always held on to my year, when I've been running Comrades, and the people that I work with who are running Comrades, I've always held on to my year as after Comrades, a little bit of a holiday from running, that is. Yeah. And then we go into a period of working on a fast park run or a half marathon or a 10 or 15. It depends on what's available, on the calendar. But that sort of, process carries on through to around September-ish. And then from September till the end of the year, and there's only really been one good option, and that's PE, although it's just so, unpredictable what the wind's going to be like. It's to then build up to either another crack at a half marathon or a marathon or an overseas marathon. So that would kind of be, the take on that. And then immediately after that marathon again to take a bit of a running holiday into the early part of December. And then we start building up again. And then it's really about laying like a really awesome platform for people who haven't done a qualifier, doing a qualifier in February, March, but not necessarily pushing it too hard. And then of course, March getting into Comrades training. With Comrades being just that little bit later, you know, it does open opportunities there to look at some really short stuff through September, October, and then looking at really fast half marathon or up to a 32, I guess, at the end of the year, and then training for a really good marathon in January or February, taking a break, and then from that break, doing your build up back to Comrades. So those are kind of the two ways that I look at it. And it's essentially what we're looking to do is to have 2 points in the year, June and either December or January, February, where you really get your body up to that, like, one hit for an ultra, one hit for a marathon.
Like the two peaks per year type of thing.
Exactly. And of course the other, because you're chasing these other shorter times there, you know, you're still driving your body up to a peak, but you're not doing the damage that you would do when you run the marathon and the ultra. And so it's just much kinder on your body.
For sure.
Lindsay Brennan was asking about sort of getting the balance right, and he's got a very supportive wife, but he is mindful of being a selfish runner. What advice would you say, and he obviously wants to get better, how do you get that balance right of not being the selfish runner but running to the best of your ability?
Yeah, so look, there's always more than one way of an outcome, and my preferred way is always to do slightly higher volumes on lower intensity, because there's a lower risk of injury. But you know, I'm working with a guy who owns a really big construction company that does a lot of deals with mining companies. So he also, coupled with the fact that he's got a very stressful job trying to keep his business up, he also has to travel quite a lot to mines, both locally and internationally. So the short version there is that he really doesn't have much time to do a whole lot more than 90 to 100 Ks of training a week. But, you know, with that amount of training this year, we've been able to help him run PBs across all distances, 5K, 10K, 21K, not yet marathon. But that's partly because we haven't trained for marathon. But, you know, when I'm talking about PB, we're not talking about Mickey Mouse PBs, talking 73 minutes. Got him to run 73 minutes on a 21. So, wow. So the point that I make is that, and I made it a little bit earlier on the call. Sure. If you want to run silvers at Comrades and you've only got 100 Ks a week to train, then we need to get you down to like, 75 minutes to 80 minutes, 20 minutes. But to get you fast, you know, to get you down to maybe a 27, 28 minutes, maybe more realistically, 8K, and to get you down to a 35 to 36 minute 10K runner, and to get you to 80, I mean, with those times, you should be at least running somewhere around 80 to 82 minutes on the 21 to get you to 255. We can do that on your structure that you've got now. What it would entail is having two harder runs in the week. And you'd have one which we would call a pure high intensity session, and that would be your hills or your speed work on that kind of thing. And you would build that through phases, strength first with hills, some longer intervals. And as you get closer to your goal race, shorter intervals. And then we would have a second run in the week, which it serves like a dual role. Initially, what it serves is a second run where you are running at a higher intensity, but it wouldn't necessarily be, well, it won't be anywhere near as hard as the first run. And that would be take the form of tempo runs or tempo intervals or like cruising running. It may be progression runs where you start very easy and then just slowly but surely increase your pace until the last 15 minutes of the run feel like, okay, this is getting hard work. But as soon as you cool down, and that helps with running efficiency, preps your body to really become efficient at providing energy. And it also really helps with muscular skeletal coordination and running form and those kind of things. And as you get closer to your goal race, again, depending on whether it's a 5K or whether it's a marathon, those runs would either become, if you're training for marathon, they'd shift more towards the tempo run side. If you're training for something like a 5K, they would turn into like a very short, that stride. You mentioned doing strides before when you're in Cape Town, to do more of that kind of thing. It would be like 5 100s, which is obviously extremely high intensity, but it very low volume. So, you know, next day you don't even know you did them. And so that's how I'd split those up, and I typically would split those by 3 days, but 2 days is sometimes okay. So we look for 72 hours between them, but 48 hours at least. So those are the kind of things that you can do if you're time compromised, so that you still keep that volume around that 90-100, maybe one or 2 weeks at the 110 around there. It's strategically placed. But yeah. That's really how you can get the best out of the time available to you. Also bearing in mind that you're actually coming off quite a good base of consistent training for quite a long period of time. You also respond quite well to that kind of training. And then, you know, once you go back into more of a comrade style training, it'll bring that base up again, and then it'll allow you the following year to go back into this sort of training, which you will then respond well to, and you just keep layering it year after year.
That sounds fantastic. Yeah, it sounds great.
And then you're in for the win in 10 years' time, Renard Comrades.
No, listen. I'm 6 foot. I'm over 6 foot tall, and I'm weighing around about 80 kgs. So I don't think that's on the cards, Brad. I don't think that's ever.
You give those sorts of weights to be running the shorter ones at the speed you're running at that size. That's phenomenal, Brennan. I mean, you've definitely got some amazing ability. And I know Lindsay looks at those times and he gets quite excited when he chats to athletes with that sort of ability. And you can definitely do it. And I look forward to seeing how you go over the next year after Comrades. And let's get you down to that. I think Lindsay said an 82 half marathon. I think that's a good goal for the next year. What do you reckon?
Yeah, that would be amazing. I'll tell you something. You know, my dad was also a decent runner. He had a 30 minutes, 8K at altitude, 30 minutes, 15, 310. And, he just never quite got there, you know. I think working with you guys and being on a structured plan and having a regimented structure, like I've tried too many things and it's kind of been like throwing things against the wall and hoping that something's going to stick, you know.
Yeah.
And just having a clear direction and knowing that's what I've really enjoyed about following the program on the platform is it's just, okay, today is Friday, I'm resting. Yeah. Tomorrow is Saturday or, you know, I know I'm doing a 40K. You know, having spoken to Lindsay, I know I'm doing like a 40 to 45K either tomorrow or Sunday. And, you know, there's no second guessing. It's just that is as it is. And I think that's one of the biggest benefits of working with a coach is that you've got a clear, like you are here. You want to get there. These are the things we need to do along the way. And, you know, and you've also got someone to ask questions to, you know, because that's one thing is when you're a self-coached runner, like you doubt yourself so much. Like you're like, oh, am I doing the right thing? Am I running too much? Am I running too little? Is this long? Have I run two oceans too fast? Do I have the right plan? So it takes the doubts out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I would say. That's what I would say to anybody who's thinking about, partnering with a coach like Lindsay and on a platform that, like the one that they designed, like Brad and Lindsay have designed, is that, you know, it takes the guesswork out of it. And, you know, it may not be, Rob D. Castella, the famous marathoner, he said, you know, he was the world record holder in the 80s, Australian, and he said, our program wasn't the best, but it worked.
Yeah, there we go.
So, like, I would just say to folks, like, there's so much information out there, like, follow a coach, commit to it, and you know, hopefully about a year's time from now, I can talk to you guys again, and we'll be talking about some good successes. But listen, thanks so very much.
Yeah.
No, Brennan, we love having you around. You ask such great questions in the forums, and we can't wait to see how you go, Comrades. I think you're in for a goodie. But the next 12 months, I think we're going to see some big improvements. I'm excited. I'm sure you are too.
Yeah, very much, Brad. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for your time. Awesome. Eh?
Pleasure. Pleasure. See you soon.
All right. Cheers. See you, comrades.
And that's it for another edition of Run with Coach Perry. Thank you very much to Brendan and Lindsay. I hope you enjoyed that call. And time to announce our next winner in the Bike and Journey competition. And it's congratulations. It was on Instagram. It was Fit and Zani who posted her running crew saying, great way to start Friday. Easter running goals. We all have a common goal and love running. That's awesome. Congratulations, Fit and Zani. We will be in touch to get your prize to you. Congratulations. 3 months access to the Coach Perry Online Training Club as well as that Bike and Journey hamper. Until next time, from myself, Brad Brown, and the rest of the team, you have yourself a good one. Cheers.